Well, I'm delighted to have on the phone with me today here on this Monday here on BPN Radio, a longtime friend of mine. We go way back, and it's good to have Roy Beard. And Roy has been a minister for 45 years, a pastor for 25 years, and he's traveled throughout the world in ministry. He grew up in East Texas and attended Tyler Junior College, Southwestern University, University of Texas in Tyler. He's published three books, and he has an incredible daily blog that he writes. And recently, he wrote a blog called The Clear and Present Danger, and I wanted him to talk about what he means by that. Roy, it's good to have you on BPN Radio today.
Good to be with you.
And I'm so impressed by the blogs that you write. And before you get off the telephone with me here today, I want you to give people an opportunity to know how to contact you, and because you are a terrific writer. So we're going to pray today for our nation. I've been calling for America, a revival in America, for the past 30 years, since 1985. Amen. I've been a prayer leader, of course, way back. But tell me and those that are praying with us today what you mean by the clear and present danger.
Well, what we have, to me, when you have a condition that the Bible talks about as impending warning signs, and we see them everywhere. I see, as a minister and as a citizen talking to people, I find an alarming amount of apathy and disinterest and even disbelief in people, and I find people discouraged. And I don't know if the discouragement produces the apathy or if the apathy produces the discouragement, but I see that happening. But what I see coming is we have things that are going on to where former military people, we have former government officials, we have men of God telling us that there are things going on that are not visible and that are even more dangerous than the things that are visible. But when I see the federal government virtually declaring war on the Christian faith through its regulations, its rules, its laws, various statements that are made, such as the President of the United States saying America is no longer a Christian nation. And then he turned right around and said that it's the largest Muslim nation in the world. That's raises a red flag for me, because I know that even some statistics that are today, while we may not be as committed as we were once, many people may not actually attend services as they once did. We may not be living as America as a whole the way we should. But I believe the latest statistic I saw was that there was somewhere over 60 to 70% that still profess a belief in God. So I believe that would qualify as a Christian nation.
Right.
But when we take steps in our government to do things such as to completely eliminate a border, which for seeming political purposes, but it seems to go further than that, to where you are going to allow someone that is illegal to automatically become legal. And when we're told on one hand, well, they won't have benefits, they're not going to get entitlements, they're not going to be able to vote, this, that, and the other. Well, we saw that in Obamacare, and we know that if you like your plan, you can keep it. That didn't work. So I'm convinced that the eradicating of the American border is not just America, but it's an attempt to eradicate the borders of the world, turn us into a world government. That's a warning sign. That's a clear and present danger to me. When a country begins to lose its sovereignty, and when we have things, our founding fathers, Dale, they began their sessions with prayer. Benjamin Franklin, even in when they gathered to try to hammer out a constitution and were getting nowhere, He said, gentlemen, what we need to do is pray. We need to gather every day and pray. And they repeatedly wanted the Bible taught in school. They wanted the involvement of ministers with decisions made with government. They wanted a separation to where that the state did not have a national religion or determine that one religion was over another, but they didn't want to eliminate God from the decisions made in this country. In right. fact, George Washington, in his initial inaugural address, made a statement that a country could not long expect the blessing of God if they ignored his principles. And that sounds a little prophetic to me, that right. We have moved to a place to where you can't pray in school, you can't say the Pledge of Allegiance in school, you can't fly an American flag because it might offend somebody of right. a different faith or a different country. That's a danger. That's a very clear and present danger. And it speaks to where we're going. I mean, when we devalue human life, to the point that abortion is now virtually on demand, and over 50 million babies have been aborted in the United States of America. And then beyond that, people, we have shootings and we have murders and we have destruction, and people are doing this with almost no remorse.
Right.
No, there doesn't seem to be any remorse whatsoever. That's a danger. That's a clear sign to me that we are coming to a place that we have a real, real problem going on in this nation. We're fanning the flames nationally for racial discord, which I personally am troubled. I realize that being a Caucasian, growing up in the South, that some automatically assume that I'm prejudiced against other races of people. But I'm a Christian, and my heart cries out for everybody to be respected and honored in life. And if you're willing to work, if you're willing to do the right thing, then it doesn't matter what color your skin is. And, I mean, my heritage is Scottish, Irish, and Native American Indian. Well, I'm not a hyphenated American. I'm an American. Yeah. I may be a Heinz 57 American, but I'm an American.
Right.
And so I grow weary when I hear people identifying themselves as all of the hyphenated Americans. One friend of mine who is a black minister, he said, I'm not a hyphenated American, I am an American.
Right.
I'm a patriotic American. He said, I love God, I love my family, and I love my country, and I will fight for those three.
Yeah.
But we have things going on. Well, over 17 years ago, I had a vision when I was living over in Euless, Texas. I was standing in the backyard praying one day, and it was a panoramic vision that I saw chaos. As I began to look at the scene that I saw bombed out cities that looked like World War II Europe. And I heard a voice asking me, what do you see? And that's what I said, I see World War II Europe. Mm-hmm. And that voice said, no, look again. And I looked again, and I said, well, that's what it looks like. It looks like the cities that have been bombed out. It looks like war-torn land.
Yeah.
And I felt like the Lord saying, look closely. And as I began to look, I saw Dallas, I saw New York, I saw Washington, I saw Los Angeles, I saw San Francisco, I saw cities all over this country. Then I saw troops in the street, tanks in the street, and they were not wearing American uniforms that I recognized. Mm. And at the same time, while I saw all of that going on, I saw preachers standing in the doors of churches calling out to people to come in, and people were saying, no, you didn't have the answers before, you don't have the answers now. And were rejecting what many of those preachers were calling out for. But at the same time, I saw something happening where people were joining to people and something was being formed. And as I watched that, I realized that that was the invisible Church of Jesus Christ coming together in a dynamic and powerful form. Yeah. That while the destruction was going on, the incredible harvest was beginning to take place. And what you've been praying for 30-some-odd years or longer, and what I've been praying for, is going to be a reality. And I'm excited about that. I mean, I see all of the dangers. I see all of the problems. I see the land grab by the government. I see the overreaching. I see the total taking of control. But at the same time, I'm excited about what I see in my spirit that God is doing, and he's going to do parallel to that.
I believe that.
Oh, absolutely. I have people tell me that, well, Roy, as a Christian, you can't speak against the government. The Bible tells you that you can't do that. You have to pray for them and obey them. Well, I guess I have a different interpretation of that, because I approach it in this way generally. If I see danger, regardless of what that danger is, am I to be silent? I mean, if I drove by and saw your house on fire or someone trying to set your house on fire, and I did nothing, because I said, oh, well, I'll pray about this, and went on my way, people would think I was a pretty vile individual, that I was an uncaring person. And if I saw a child in danger of walking into the street, and I did nothing to try to prevent that child from being hit by an oncoming car, people would consider me reprehensible. Well, if I see danger coming to my nation, and I say nothing and do nothing, am I not also being guilty of what the scripture says, that if I warn the wicked to turn from his wicked ways, or if I don't warn the wicked to turn from his wicked ways, and he dies in his sin, his blood's required on my hand.
Yeah.
Well, I just see this as to where, and to say that we're to blindly obey, well, that would fall into the category of Peter and the apostles being in prison, and the Jewish leaders saying, you can't preach in this name anymore. And Peter's infamous words, to where he told them, I'm sorry, you make the decision. If God tells me to do something and you tell me not to do it, who am I supposed to obey? I have to obey God. And we've got military action going on behind the scenes. There seems to be a drive to... It's almost like we want to put control of the United States in the hands of the United Nations. And this latest CIA report on, quote, torture, the amazing thing of that is that was done completely by, virtually by staffers of Dianne Feinstein and the Democrats on the committee. The Republicans all bailed on it and would not participate. And my understanding is not one member, not one leader, not one member of the CIA were interviewed to find out, to hear their side of that story. So what was the purpose of that,
right,
if not to diminish our government and our standing in the world? And then when we take actions as a nation to cater to those that publicly declare their purpose is to completely destroy America, and to raise the flag of Islam in the White House, and we cater to them, and at the same time turn our backs on our friends such as Israel, and accuse them of all kinds of atrocities, as a friend of mine used to say, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. And I'm sure Israel feels that way about us at times. But wait a minute. What's going on here? So we're in a terrible situation that, and I'm not sure people are prepared. I'm not sure that we really grasp what's going on. I see danger signs like the recent drop in oil prices. this is a manipulated thing that could have been real had we allowed drilling and exploration on public land. Most of the things that we've done in America have been on private land, but yet the OPEC nations look at what's going on and realize that, hey, we've got to destroy the American oil and gas industry. Well, while I love the lower prices, when I said cheap, and I said, well, it's not cheap, it's lower, it's less than it was.
Yeah.
When it's still over $2 a gallon, I don't consider that cheap. I like it, but I don't consider it cheap. But here's the thing that I see, the danger that I see in this, is that we're looking at a situation where if much of the oil and gas industry in America fails because it's not profitable for them to continue on, then we've got a situation where hundreds of thousands of jobs are going to be lost, not just in that industry, but it will move out into all of the other industries. We've got a situation with that $1.1 trillion bill that Congress, just the Senate and House, put through.
Right.
That's going to fund so many things, $1.1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things in it that virtually roll us back on banking regulations to the point that got us in trouble before with the shady loans and the ill-advised loan. But not only that, the funds in there to allow the government to give them funds to do land grabs on private citizens. And we're going to spend billions of that to give aid to Muslim entities. And we have put a target on our backs so much around this world. I see an alarming thing going on. I really do. And when I look at everything, and it flows from the White House all the way down, is that we've got a situation going on where we've got 92 million people 16 and older no longer in the workforce.
Wow.
92 million. We've got over 40, almost 50% of American households are drawing some kind of government subsistence. Mm. How can we survive doing that?
Right.
To me, that's a danger.
Right.
We're over $18 trillion in debt. And the only people that are being counted in the 5.8% unemployment rate that's announced nationally are the people that have actually looked for a job in the last 4 weeks. If you haven't been looking for a job, then you're not counted. Well, if the real number on unemployment by the people that I talk to and look at it and do simple mathematics, with a little over 300 million people and 92 million of them are not working, I believe that's a little more than 6%.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I agree, and I agree with you, Roy, on the present danger. But where's the church in all of this? We have 2 or 3 minutes left here. Where's the church in all of this? And what is the church supposed to do? And what posture do you see the church taking in all of this? It seems like that so many Christians, they either are not alert to it, or they say, I don't want to look at the negative part of life. Just give us hope.
Right.
And
so
where are we at there with the church, with the Christians?
Well, I think that's where when I said earlier about there's somewhat apathy, somewhat disinterest, somewhat disbelief, and a lot of discouragement going on. Where I see the church needs to be, in my personal view and what God is saying to my heart, I believe God's told me that I'm a watchman on the wall. That's my ministry at this point.
And
that is my purpose. And I tell people, I can't be silent because that's what God told me to do. I have to declare what I see.
No, I agree.
And then it's up to you to do whatever you do with that.
Right.
But if the Bible, the most prolific statement in Scripture that to me is, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wickedness, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. We have to become involved
That's
as
right.
believers.
That's right.
We, Somebody told me one time when I was discussing pastoring a man in the church, one of the strong leaders in the church, he told me, he said, well, Pastor, this is my business life that I do this, and this is, I do this in my social life, and I do this in social life. And I said, wait a minute, you're not a cop. You don't have nine lives. You have a life.
One life, yes.
You have a life.
Mm-hmm.
You are the sum total of everything you do. If you're not righteous in business, then you're not righteous. If you're not righteous in your family life, you're not righteous. If you're not righteous in your social life, you're not righteous. If you're not righteous in your political life, you're not righteous. Well, I have a life, and politics, unfortunately, is a part of our life. We're affected by politics.
That's right.
So what I believe the church needs to do is we need to pray earnestly.
Yes.
We need to intercede.
That's right.
Needs to be more than just offer up a little God bless them.
That's right. We need
to intercede. And you believe that strongly. And
yes.
So thankful for that.
Yes.
But then we need to take it a step further than that, and we need to become informed. And that's where I believe I'm partially involved, is trying to get information out to people to cause them to see the danger and to say, wait a minute, maybe there is something here. Then we need to become not only informed, but we need to become active. And I believe where we need to be active is on the local community level. We need to get involved in our local community.
Right.
And represent the values of our Christian faith and our American heritage on the local level. And if we'll do that, then I believe we have hope. If we refuse to do that, then God's going to allow that which is coming
right. To
run its full course.
Right.
And I don't want to see America demise. I do not want to see America go down. But it's up to us. It really is.
Right.
God is willing to do whatever
we
will allow him to do in our lives. He will not trample on our will in this matter. It's up to us.
That's right. Well, we need to pray. We need to be informed. And I know that's, and then we need to become active, particularly in our city, because I believe that Satan is out to destroy our nation one city at a time.
Yeah.
And so, Roy, I want you to... I want you to pray for our nation, however you feel led to pray. We have a couple of minutes here. Then we're going to tell people how they can read your blog. And I know that you have some incredible information and insight, not only serving in the military, but serving for many years in the ministry. So why don't you say a prayer? We're all about prayer. And I'm so thankful that you have given us a warning as a watchman on the wall, which I consider myself also as a watchman on the wall.
Right.
So, Roy Beard, good to have you today. Just say a prayer for us.
I will do that. And it's my pleasure to be here. Father, we humbly come before you. We know that we're humans and we're frail in ourselves, but we're not in ourselves. We're in you. It's not our strength that we operate in. It's not our wisdom that we operate in. It's not our ability and power that we operate in. It's you. We are in you. It's Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. And Lord, you did command us to pray for those that have rule over us, and I pray daily, and we pray now that you will move on the hearts of those that have been elected or selected into positions of leadership, not just in America, but in throughout the world. And Lord, while we're not praying for the success of bad ideas or policies or ideology, we are praying that you move on their hearts, that they will hear that tug of the Holy Spirit that would lead them in a right path, lead them in a right way, and give them a heart for the people. Yes. Not just a heart for power, but a heart for the people.
That's right.
And Lord, I believe that as you touch their hearts, that we will see some of them begin to move. They may not even understand why they're moving it, but that your spirit will so move on their hearts,
yes,
that they will begin to see the error of their ways and will begin to do that which your spirit directs to be done.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I ask that you bless America again. I ask that you bless the American people, and not just the American people, but the world. And more than that, that you open new doors every day for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That every lost, yes, person that will receive can come to you. And I pray that in Jesus' name, and I ask that you continue to keep your hand of blessing and anointing upon my friend Dale Gentry and the work that he's doing. I thank you for it, and I give you praise in Jesus' name.
Thank you so very much, Roy Beard, and I really appreciate you being on today here on BPN Radio. And tell the people now how they can receive your daily blogs, which are really fantastic. You're a great writer.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, the blogs, I have two blogs. One is primarily as the Watchman on the Wall, speaking politically and patriotically, and that Roy Beard, roybeard.wordpress.com. And the other, I do a daily devotional. It's spiritual, and that's Roy, R-O-Y-S-B-E-A-I-R-D, Covenant Corner. Roy's Covenant Corner, R-O-Y-S. Covenant, Covenant Corner, .wordpress.com.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook, Roy Beard, you can find me there. And if someone, I don't mind giving an email address, it's
okay.
Roy Beard, rbeard, B-E-A-I-R-D, at verizon.net. And if someone would like to contact me, I'd be glad to give them that information. We do not have a website at this time. We've been debating, and at one time had one, and kind of let it get away from us, but we're about to get back into that, and because we're opening ourselves up for more travel and more writing, and possibly another book or two coming out sometime in the next year.
Okay.
Whatever God has to do.
Well,
I appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure that if people would just Google in Roy Beard, B-E-A-I-R-D, then they could,
right,
then your blogs would come up. And so
I would think so.
Yeah. Just want people to remember Roy, B-E-A-I-R-D. Thank you so much for being on the broadcast today, for giving us a clear warning, a clear and present warning that danger is coming to America, particularly if we do not pray. And so we must pray.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Roy, and hope to have you back sometime. God bless you in your ministry.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure. Be glad to be back anytime.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.